Welcome to the Gift of Second Chances. I am your host, Melinda. This podcast is designed to educate you, make you laugh, think, react, and repeat the information you hear as we discuss the issues that are affecting and infecting our communities. Welcome to another episode of The Gifts of Second Chances. This week, I am so excited to have a very in-depth conversation with my cousin, Tiffany Benson. And not only is she my cousin, she is a former nurse at a STD HIV clinic where testing is done. She is a U.S. Army veteran, a mother of two, which one of her children is a U.S. Navy man. She is also a great daughter, a sister, and a grandmother. Welcome, Tiffany.
Why, yay! Thank you. That was such a nice intro.
You are so welcome. I mean, I have just only known you what, all my life, so I know a little bit about you.
Just a little bit. We're going to go with just a little bit.
Just a little bit. When I say I know people, I didn't realize how many people I know that do such important jobs until I started doing this podcast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, everything that I need is right there in my back pocket. I know everybody like, do she only invite her family? I'm like, I know people.
Ain't it wonderful? It's just wonderful when you don't have to call people and say, hey, you don't know me, but can I talk with you?
I know people. So yeah, I'm so excited. So this week, let me see. I'm going to try to say this little line. I think it was from a Salt and Pepper song. Let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
Let's talk about sex. Woo! So let's talk about sex. So this month is significant for STDs and HIV in teens, amongst the teen population. And so I definitely wanted to have you on here because I think we have collaborated in a couple of things in the past when I was doing a lot of the sexual integrity talks in the community. And so, I mean, who better to ask to come on here who have done like many, many testing for our young people is you. So I'm so excited that you was available.
Well, you know, this is one of my favorite conversations to have. You know, I talk to people and I tell the parents when they bring their children in, I said, first of all, let me just put this disclaimer out there. I'm not a pimp. I'm not a madam. I don't get to say who, what, where, when, and how. All I can do is educate you on the safety that you need to have when you're doing these things. So without saying, I'm not going to tell you, you can't do it. I'm just going to tell you, have you decided to do it? So this is like one of those things that I really, really love talking to with my young people because I learned some stuff. Man. and half of it is hilarious, but you know, it's some stuff to be learned. I learned some stuff talking to these children.
Absolutely. Ooh, children typically. When you think there is nothing new under the sun, you talk to a young person about their sex life and you like, what? Huh?
You get embarrassed, one. Yeah. I mean, then I go home thinking, I am so old. That's how I leave work. I am so old. And then I have to get a grip. But they didn't know what they was talking about. So maybe I've still got it, you know. So I don't know. But half of the time I'm thinking, wow, What? So yeah,
Absolutely.
this is one of those things I love doing. So
This
let's
is
talk about it.
you know, and when I was in the community, I love talking to young people as well, because a lot of them, they did sex, of course, because it's fun, it makes you feel good, but they didn't understand the seriousness of it and how it can have dire consequences and long-lasting consequences. So that's one of the reasons that I love to go in the community and talk about it, not only for the pregnancy purposes, but you know, when you get pregnant, you know, you have a baby and that baby grows up, but that STD or HIV, it does not go away sometimes. So you are stuck with something that you have to learn how to live with for the remainder of your life.
You know, it is not only the young people that can benefit from that conversation, because some of the
Yes.
parents that bring their young people in, they don't know what they think they know. And then it'd be like,
Right.
oh, I didn't know that. So is that how that goes? You know, a lot of them are surprised at what they learn when they just sit in with their teenager that's coming to have that
Wow.
conversation, to start birth control, to talk about the use of condoms. And my thing is, I always tell them you should bring them in for testing so they can know what they need to do to take care of themselves. So
Right.
it's
Exactly. When I was looking at the statistics out there, it was alarming, which I'm not too alarmed by Mississippi, because I mean, we have been kind of like in the top five for quite a while. But now that I live in another state, it's interesting to see how Mississippi fall. And Jackson, Mississippi, in the stats that came out in 2022, it was like Mississippi had 4,281 cases per 100,000 people. And San Francisco had 3,150 cases per 100,000 people. Baltimore, Maryland had 3,707 cases per 100,000 people. So right there in your top three states was Mississippi, Baltimore, Maryland, and San Francisco, California. That is alarming. That is quite alarming.
when you look
So,
at when you look at the states, and then you say, you know, Mississippi is always on the bottom. Why would we have to be on top for the one thing that we should not want to celebrate? But in our defense, in our defense, I'm gonna say that, you know, the education plays a role in it. You know, there's some
education
things.
plays a role.
It plays a role in the
Exactly.
show, but you know, it's fun to me. It's a fun fact, okay? It's a fun fact.
It is a fun fact, and it is only funny because we are in the healthcare world, and you like, really, we got to be on top for this.
For this, you're right.
And I was even looking at like what the stats were, because I thought things would fall during the COVID. Well, they only
Girl.
fell in February.
You know,
February 2020 was the lowest in gonorrhea cases, but after February, by the end of the year, people had made up for what the lockdown caused, and they was back on top, getting infected, getting a groove on. But that lets you know people still, when the whole world was scared that they was going to die, people were still having sex with strangers.
well, you know, the funny thing, somebody put out a cartoon little skit or something, I can't remember exactly, but the thing had a condom talking to the mask, and the condom said, "That you're not alone. They don't want to wear me either." I thought that was hilarious, but in my profession, I have to have that kind of I'm sorry. And, you know, working in this field, you gotta find the humor in it. And that tickled me. And I know only my coworkers got it, but I was rolling. And everybody else I showed it to, they was like, oh, that's so mean. That's so bad. I was like, yeah, no. See, you don't work in the field. You don't understand. So, yeah. But, no.
That is hilarious.
It did not slow it down, but a couple of days. And when they realized, oh, we ain't gonna die,
they called somebody else.
Yeah. They left the house. I gotta go see. So I gotta go to the stove. You know, I'm putting my mask on, but I'm going to the stove.
So, yeah, they left. I remember when I was out talking to, especially the teenagers, when I would go to the Boys and Girls Club or go to churches or go to other places and talk to the teens, and I would ask them, you know, I would give them a scenario. If you met this fine girl, especially with the guys, you met this fine girl, I mean, fine, bad, she was bad, and you end up having sex with her, and you contracted a STD, would you be mad with her? And, oh, man, they would have a fit. Yeah, I'd be mad with her. I said, why? And I was like, because she gave me some. I said, no, you gave it to yourself, because did you ask the necessary questions? Did you wear a condom? Did you do anything to protect yourself? And, of course, that's when the mood would change. But at the end of the day, they still felt like it was somebody else's priority to protect them. Can you talk about that more from a nurse standpoint and from a testing perspective?
So I always like to tell my people that I talk to, especially the younger ones, that I'm a mother first, and I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, because you need to know the truth. And the truth is, your body, your responsibility. So if you meet someone and she smell good, she all squishy and gushy, the hair on point, and you go in and you give them that famous, hey, baby line, and it works for you, you miss something. You're supposed to say, you know, I would like to get to know you. Let's go get tested. That should be your first conversation, your first date. And they said, nobody wants to come to the clinic. I'm like, you're right. Nobody wants to come to the clinic. They don't. I said, but guess what? When Bobby gets the burning, you come to the clinic. So why make Bobby go through that?
Right. So let me ask you, from a testing standpoint, I know, but for the listening audience purposes, when a couple come in to get tested, do they go in the room together? How does that work?
So it really depends, because I normally they don't let them come in, but when I worked primarily with STD HIV in that clinic, when I worked there, if it was a couple, I would always say, do you all know each other's business? Have you had this conversation? Do you want to go in the room together? Because, I mean, I'm not going to referee. I can do some explaining. We can get one understanding together, or we can get it separately. And most of the time, the couples like to come together simply because they don't want me to tell her something that I didn't tell him.
Gotcha.
And a lot of times she wanted him to hear it, so she wouldn't be feeling like she making up something. So primarily it's an individual thing, and you come in by yourself. It's confidential. Nobody has to hear your answers. But when you coming in as a couple, new couple, you know, then you say, hey, we would like to get tested together. We do make concessions. We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember I hadn't even had sex, and I had to do some testing labs for work. And it wasn't for work. It was for personal, just going to the doctor, and they wanted to run tests. And HIV was one of the tests that they wanted to do. I hadn't even had sex, and I was nervous. like on pins and needles waiting for my results, knowing I'm okay, but it's just the idea that, oh my God, it's an HIV test. And at that time, like they were saying that you had up to 10 years to test positive. So explain now how testing for HIV goes now. Because I know it has evolved over the years.
So a little bit of that is they always want to tell you, you know, they can go back 10 years.
I think we're having some difficulties, Dee Dee. Hold on. Can you start over? Because I think we're having some difficulties.
I'm gonna start over. The problem is, in the last couple of years or in the past, they always was trying to figure it out, and they did not understand how it worked. So they always tell them we can go back years. Well, that's not the case. It does not hide. It does not incubate. It does not hibernate. It's not there. If you come in contact with HIV, you're going to know it once you get tested in 3 months. It's not a 10-year thing. It's not a, I didn't see it. But now, say for instance, if you come in contact with somebody who tests positive, right? They're going to test you every 3 months for the next year. And that's simply because the level of the infectious, because you know you have to do a count to see what your numbers are, and depending your CD4 count, your cell count number is, and all this other stuff, they want to see how infectious the person you came in contact with. So if that person has a negative, we can only test for the last 2 weeks that they had a negative. So they want you to come back in 3 months so they can verify that nothing has grown, has incubated.
Okay.
And then they tell you to come back in the next 3 months for your own mental thing. Come on back, let's test you again, and we'll check it again. So most of the time, it's not hiding. It's not one of those, a surprise, I was here all alone. It does not do that. You know, that first 3 week, that first 3 months, it's going to show.
Okay. That's good to know. I love Dateline, and I was listening. It was either Dateline or 48 Hours. It was one of those investigative podcast that I was listening to, and they were talking about this man who was in this small town in Texas. Actually, the part of Texas that they were in is where Tyrone lives. And it was this man, he was infecting all these women, and they were, you know, kind of like well-off women. And he was not telling anybody his status. And so he was just having sex from one person to the other person to the other person. And a couple of them was talking about getting tested. And these were older women. And they were talking about, let's go get tested. But they didn't get the results together. They got their results. He got his results. And when they was asking him, of course, he didn't tell the truth about the results.
Right.
What do you say? I mean, and that's a grown man. So just imagine with young people, what do you say? How can a person ensure that they are protecting themselves to the utmost? But I would say one thing was, when they talked about using a condom, he would always go ring around the roses to not use a condom.
Right.
But what would you say to our young listeners out there on how to really protect themselves?
So what my advice is that if you are starting a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. If you're starting a relationship, you all should come and get tested together. Not necessarily go in the room with each other, Because you're just dating. You're not a couple. You're not married. If you're just starting to date, I would say you go in the room. You go and get tested to, on the same day together. You come together and pick up your results at the same time. He don't go when you at work or whatever. Y'all come together. Now, at that point, you guys should change results, exchange results. Because, you know, I'm not saying let him hold yours and take them home because you got information on there that you may not want him to have. But here's my results. Let me see your results. That way it's not no, well, he said he was good because he going to say a lot of stuff.
Right,
He going to say a lot of stuff. And half of it ain't going to be true. But I would suggest that you come in together and you get those results together. Mm-hmm. And that way it won't be no... He lied, no.
Or she lied, exactly.
Or she lied, yeah.
Right, right.
And then so, the other thing, too, is like when you're first starting out, let's just say you meet a guy, you like the guy. Okay, well, let's go get tested. Y'all go get tested. Now, if he got a positive result when you meet him, then that's your decision whether or not you think he's still dateable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because maybe there was something that occurred, he just didn't know it was there. Because there are a lot of people who have no symptoms. But now, if you done did the do with him, now you know who shot the sheriff. Because now you don't know who gave it to who because you didn't get tested beforehand.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think you should do that first.
So in working in the HIV world, HIV and AIDS world, of course, now you have people that due to, you know, medicine and the education surrounding HIV and AIDS, people are living so much longer and it's not a death sentence. And I do know people who marry and they plan babies and all of this with even being HIV positive or having full-blown AIDS, they still do all of these things. So I just want the audience to know it's not a death sentence. However, it is preventive if you talk to the person, go get tested, look out for your own sexual health. Instead of allowing somebody to do pillow talk and then you have to figure out on the back end. So what do you have to say about that?
So for those that are listening, I'm going to say this. HIV and AIDS are two different creatures.
Right.
Okay, so you can have HIV and never get AIDS. And you can have AIDS and go back to having just HIV.
Right. Now that part I did not know.
Yes. So AIDS is defined by your cell count, how infectious you are. So if that number drops down to the numbers that it's supposed to be full blown AIDS, if you take that medicine and you hydrate and you are staying healthy and you're trying to do everything you can take your numbers back up to where they're supposed to be.
Good to know.
So, but now you can't, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you know, this person has AIDS and they're not taking care of themselves. They're taking the medicine here and there. They're not going to revert that.
Right.
They're not going to revert that. But if they do what they're supposed to do, if they let them put them in the hospital and they do what they're supposed to do and they take care of themselves, it can revert. It can change.
Okay, good to hear that.
Yeah, it can. But
so when you go get tested, do the staff teach, is it an opportunity to teach you how to use a condom for the men and the women? And then they also have female condoms. They have dental dams. Is it opportunity for teaching on all of these things?
In my office, that's a yes.
Okay.
We had the dildo. I would show them how to open the condom, how to put it on, how to, you know, how to effectively take it off without spillage. You know, yes. The dental dam, you know, I had a whole bunch of test subjects that would tell me, how did it work? Did you like it? Was it comfortable? You know, I ask questions. So yes, in my office it was, but I'm not saying that everybody's comfortable enough to talk to teenage kids, because what do I tell them? How can I say this without sounding this way? If they're old enough to be in here learning this, they're old enough for you to talk to them and tell them.
That is so true.
Let's talk.
Let's not be shame. I know since I've been here in California, I have asked you to send me some female condoms so I can pass out to different people, because we having conversation. I'm like, look, you need to protect yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to protect you. You come equipped. And so when I was telling some people about it, they was like, huh? I'm like, girl, don't worry. I'll bring for the demonstration. No worries. I got you. Now, I done had my cousin to send me some. I got you, boo.
I will say that a lot of married couples who are still in the childbearing age that does not like wearing the male condom, they do enjoy the female condom more because the restriction is not there.
Right. Right.
So they do enjoy that a little bit more. Now, let me tell you, I learned recently that we had a dissolving contraceptive.
What?
Girl, listen, I was at work and the lady asked me, do y'all have any of those dissolving things for, you know, for like condoms? I was like, girl, what is that, babe?
A dissolving
condom. What's that? That sounds dangerous. Don't it? I'm like, you know, so when doing a little bit more research, we did actually have them. So I'm like, so do y'all give these out to teenagers or to just random people? There is no one whoever wants them. I was like, yeah, this is syphilis waiting to attack. If it dissolves, where is the protection?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, so I don't promote those at all.
I don't know. I have to do a little bit more research on that.
I would give them to the married people, but not to my teenagers. So, no. But, yeah, I really do. I tell everybody when they get a certain age that they should really visit a novelty store. In the novelty store, you will find the dental dam, the flavored condoms, the flavored lubes, the female condoms. You will find all of these things. And I say sex can be fun. And it can be one of those things that you do and enjoy. It does not have to be one of those things that end in parenthood every time.
Right. Or disease. At the end of the day, it's like I look at sex like it could be a gun. I mean, a gun can be really nice when somebody is coming to attack. However, it can be really bad if you just playing with it and accidentally shoot it at somebody and it goes off.
I call it Russian roulette.
Absolutely. Every time you have
sex, every time you have sex without a condom, you playing Russian roulette.
Yes.
You're gonna spin the wheel. And what are we gonna get this time? What are we gonna get? Is it gonna land on the black or the red? What are we gonna get? See, no. I knew I wasn't the only one that had that sense of humor.
No. I mean, when you look at the array of choices that you have,
yes.
I think, you know, there are some STDs out there that can be cured by some medication. So I think I would, if I'm gonna play Russian roulette, I want those, but I don't want any.
Well, you know,
I don't want any.
And it's weird. It's weird that you say that, because when you ask the teenagers, what do they think is the worst? When you ask people in general, not just teenagers, what is the worst STD to get? What do you think it is?
I'm sorry.
Which STD would you rather have? If you had to have one, if you had to have one, which would you rather have?
I think I would rather have chlamydia with symptoms.
Okay, see, you're a little bit knowledge on that one. Yeah, you had a little bit knowledge on that one.
Yes, I want chlamydia with symptoms.
Okay, because you know everybody picks chlamydia, but the reason they pick it is because it don't sound so bad and you can get rid of it. But did you know that chlamydia is the one that can decrease your ability to have children?
Yes, yes. Or your babies can come out and get the chlamydia in the eyes, be blind and all that other kind of stuff. So
no, it can cause them other issues.
Yes.
It can cause some other issues, but if you have chlamydia over a long period of time, it can damage your tubes and that baby will not be able to implant. You won't even be able to have that baby.
That's why I said chlamydia with symptoms.
With symptoms. I
So I can rush on in and get my medication.
See me, I was going to go for the trick. Give me the trick and I'm good. A little itch, a little smell, and we out. But you know, I don't want none of that stuff.
I don't want none of it either.
None of that stuff. So yeah.
I think the sad part is nowadays, especially growing up in an era that I grew up in, I mean, there were certain commercials that they couldn't even advertise on TV because it was too explicit. Now, I mean, your music, your TV, sex is everywhere. Sex sells.
Everywhere.
Sex is everywhere. And everywhere. So children younger and younger and younger are exploring with sex. And I think it's very important that parents understand that it's never too early to talk to your children about it. It's not that you're giving them permission, but you are educating them for a preventative measure. Cause you want them to understand, because if they don't get it from you, you know who they're going to get it from. They're going to get it from another unknowledgeable child, their same age, who is going to encourage them to do it. And that child is not going to tell them all
the
dangers, how to protect themselves. They're not gonna do it. You know how I know? Because I was one of them dumb kids who told somebody else who was my age, and I ended up with Tyrone. So I know how dumb advice from other kids can be.
But you know, the other thing I think parents should come in and have that conversation before they have that conversation with their children. Because again, there's a lot of things that they were never told, they were never talked to about, they didn't ask questions about, and there's a lot of stuff that they don't know. So I get this is my favorite visit, and I have to laugh every time they leave. When the pregnant lady comes in and she's boo-hooing, face swole up and red because she been crying all night because she got her test results from her OBGYN and she got herpes.
Oh, man.
And there's no talking to or calming down a pregnant lady you done told she got herpes. Mm-hmm. There's no calming that down. So sometimes I have to just step outside of the room, go into the bathroom or a room down the hall and laugh, get that out of my system. And then I have to come back, because here's the thing. When you test for herpes with a blood test, if you test 100 people, at least 99 of them going to come back with herpes, because we all have it in our system. Right. Shingles, chicken pox, cold sores, it's all the same virus. And you cannot test for herpes through a blood test. It is something that grows. So if you got an open sore, they culture it, it grows. You can't get a pregnant lady to understand that when she crying. I'd be looking at her like, oh, baby, I'm so sorry they told you that. I mean, it's just, That's one of my favorite visits, though, because she's looking at him and he's scared to close his eyes, and he thinks she's finna do something to him, and she's plotting to the countdown to having that baby because she's gonna hurt him. So, you know, it's just, I'm like, okay, we're gonna come down and dial it back just a minute, because, you know, herpes is the only STD that you can get and do not have to have intercourse.
Right. Exactly. So basically, we all need to, at some point, go in the office, especially if you're a parent, go in the office, go to your nearest STD HIV clinic, get tested yourself. And while you're in there getting tested, ask get questions. The education, yes. So that you can pass that education on to your own children. Because like you said, a lot of us, we didn't learn about sex from a knowledgeable person. We learned, no. It was like on the job training. And we know what on the job training looked like.
And half of the time, you never get that training complete.
Some stuff you master, other stuff you don't. So,
and some stuff you just don't even go in there and look and say, not today. I'm just not even going in there. Just not
exactly.
Even
so that is one of the if you want to do a service to your children as a parent, that is one of the things that you can do that will take them. And not only take them far, but take them as something to do with their own children. And that is keeping generations safe from all the STDs that's out here, and HIV and AIDS that is out here coming for people who are unaware, unprotected, no knowledge, not interested, just looking to have a good time.
So when my boys was 14, mm-hmm. we had amnesty night. Ooh. Now, you know, I'm a military background. Amnesty is when you are able to return that ammunition round without getting in trouble.
Okay.
That's amnesty.
Okay.
They have amnesty boxes. You can put the ammunition in there and nobody gets in trouble for it because they can count it. Okay. So what we did was, I was so embarrassed. We had... I gathered them, and it was probably about, I think it was about eight of them. It was eight of them. Them and my son and a couple of football boys and the boys in the neighborhood. We all came in together, and this was a night that they got to ask questions, and we got to talk about some stuff, try out some, you know, some condoms, you know, roll them out and see the different lengths and size and, you know, the textures and all of this. And then they got to ask questions. Now,
because everybody want to go for the big one.
Everybody won't go for that big one. They can't fit it. So somebody should have told me, ma'am, you don't want to listen to these children. You might want to get a drink, a three, before you start this conversation with these boys. Somebody, I wish I had a lifeline. Somebody should have helped a sister out. Because by the end of that night, I put all of them out of my house. Mine included.
But did they ask good questions? That's,
girl.
That's what we want to know. Did they ask good questions?
Oh, Jesus. The questions... The questions that they asked made my mind just explode.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, what? Who does that? Why? Who told you that? Where'd that come from? You know, it was just no, wait a minute. Wait, go back. Try that again. You know, I was not ready for it. I did not understand the assignment. Okay, I was not ready. I was not ready. So, but at the end of the day, I think I'm going to say a week later, it's probably 2 weeks when I allowed them to come back. It was 2 weeks later, I think.
Uh-huh.
We got together again, and again, I had that drink, and I was ready for them.
You was ready.
I was ready for them. We sat down, and we talked about it, and we talked about... I tell them all the time, I don't tell you how to put the key in the lock, but let's talk about what happens when you get the key in the lock. Okay, let's talk about that. So
right,
what do we do beforehand? You know, we talked about it. Safe places to have sex. These kids was having sex at the school in the middle of the baseball diamond. What?
Oh, yeah.
Who does that? So I was baffled. I was shocked.
Kids.
So, but yeah, we talked and stuff. And then what I did like a month later, no, actually when they were 16, their girlfriends, I got the girlfriends.
Ah.
So I brought the girlfriends over, but at this point I had to get the parents' permission.
Right, right.
If your kids hung around my kids, and I know my kids, and they friends, because I had to learn a I got a crash course in my kids, you know. So
yes.
I had to get them girls, baby. I had to get them girls armored up because them boys was not playing. They wasn't taking no prisoners, okay?
That's the important thing, especially if it's a conversation, they able to ask questions.
Yes.
It makes it easier, and it's not this big secret, and it's not this big something that they are looking to just run out and go and do in such a hurry. They understand the responsibility of it and how, you know, it can play out if you are not doing right by yourself, by getting the information and protecting yourself, and how you can, you know, affect some other people's lives as well. Because I know
you definitely don't want to be known as that girl who gave somebody something.
You definitely don't want to be known as that girl.
So we ain't moving.
And we all know somebody who has been that girl.
That
and
girl.
For some reason, it has never been that bad on that boy. But for that girl,
it is horrible. She did this and that.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Honey, she wants to move. So I had one young lady who came in the clinic. And I will never forget this little girl. She came in the clinic. And her auntie brought her in because she was on Facebook, and the girl asked for somebody to just do a drive by and kill her.
Oh, that is so sad.
Her and her friend decided to find out what this sex thing was about. And her friend recorded it and sent it to everybody in the school.
Oh no.
So, you know, the importance of that conversation that I have with these kids is, listen,
it's life-saving.
Yeah, it is. Because the kids, y'all making these decisions to have sex because, one, your friends said they're doing it, and half of the time they're not. Two, the boy said, if you really like me, you'll do it. And half the time, he don't like you.
Right.
So, because if he really like you, he wouldn't ask you to do that.
He wouldn't ask you.
But he would not. So, just the kids are, they're crying out for help, and don't do it, don't work anymore. Right. So, you have to be able to listen to them, let them talk to you, and let them tell you what's going on so you can give them a great answer, not the answer that you got.
Exactly.
Because the answer I got was, don't do it.
Don't do it.
I said so. Don't do it.
Just say no, because I said so.
Because I said so. And that don't work no more. That was the answer I got.
No, it didn't work then. Talking about no more, it didn't work then.
Girl, your mama gonna hear this.
Don't nobody tell her.
Your mama gonna hear this.
Don't nobody tell her.
My mama don't need to hear it.
Okay, we're going to keep it quiet for our own folks.
Say, because we ain't too grown yet. They're going to get us later.
Well, so, I had the evidence of it don't work. So, and it
I
just.
Got away with it, but don't tell nobody.
But it just don't work. And we need to arm and equip our kids not only with reading, like the old folks say, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
I'm telling that arithmetic gets you every time.
We need to equip them with sexual knowledge, sexual health knowledge, how to protect themselves. Let them know that the people that say, I love you, are usually the people that will hurt you the worst, because they only telling you that to get what they want. But you still need to protect yourself. That's love.
But you know, sometimes it takes for a mama to stand back and let that child talk to someone, one, they don't know, like a nurse.
Yes.
And two, mama need to be in on that conversation, but mama can't talk.
Mama can't talk.
Mama can't talk. So if mama comes to the session, she can't talk and pass judgment. Because if she do, the child not going to talk to her.
They're going to shut down.
They're going to shut down. So the best way to do it is if it's a favorite auntie, you and that auntie go get it, because I need you to talk to my child because she's not going to talk to me.
Right.
But you need to know what she's going to tell her. So y'all go get that together.
Right.
Because, you know, it's easy to say, well, her auntie or her dad or her whoever going to talk to her. But in the long run, whatever happened to your child, it's going to happen to you too, because you're going to be the one dealing with it with your child.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true.
So you need to know what's being told to your child. So we got to find, they got to have a safe space. I did amnesty. If you can do an amnesty, that is a great thing to do, because your children will learn to trust you. I took my boys to a Walmart and told them, walked over there, I said, y'all, which one of these condoms y'all want to get? Listen, mom say, man, don't touch them. This is a trick. Don't touch them. He's just a trick, man. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
I know, and I know my child probably would not want nobody to hear this, but I'm going to say it. When I dropped him off at college, we stopped at Walmart, go and get you a few things, and go over there and get them condoms. I think I went to get the condoms, or I told him to go get the condoms, but there is no way I'm finna send you out into the woods, because at that time he was going into the woods
without protection.
On the yard.
On the yard.
Away from mama.
What I did was I got, you know, those little travel cases,
yes,
for the boys with the shaving stuff. So I got those. I had a note in there and I had condoms. And that's what I was giving to my graduating boys. For the girls, I gave one of those little those little bags that had the bags over in the bags that zips up, like the little weekender bag. I gave them those. Mm-hmm. And in the little bag that was in the little bag, I've had condoms in there.
Oh.
And there was always a note in there with my phone number. Call me with any questions. You can text me anonymously. But here's the thing. Don't take no Piggly Wiggly bag to stay overnight at nobody's house. And don't go without your own protection.
Don't go without your own protection. That is correct. Don't leave your health up to somebody else. Don't put that in somebody else's hands. You take control of your own sexual health. Take control of
it. Not only your health, it's your tomorrow.
It's your tomorrow. Exactly.
And it's your tomorrow.
And if he or she don't want to use a condom, then he or she may not be the person for you. And that's okay. And I'm going to say it again. It's plenty of he and she's and they's out there that will use protection. But if they, he, she, them, us, our, whatever you want to identify as, do not want to use protection. Walk away. Walk away.
So, you know, now the thing is this. The girls are deciding that if I'm on birth control, I'm good.
No.
And the boys are like, well, she on birth control, so, you know, she good.
No.
birth control stops a baby. If you get an STD and get on an antibiotic, that birth control not going to help you because the antibiotic going to knock the birth control out.
That is absolutely true. So you definitely going to have to know. When I say no, not E-N-O, well, you can use E-N-O too, but this is K-E-N-O-W. Know what you're getting into. Understand all the information before you make a decision. And then that way you will know how to protect your today, how to protect your tomorrow, how to protect your future, because the person that you lay with today may not even be the person that you interested in 3 months from now or tomorrow. Yeah. They might not even be that same person, and you want to give something to them.
So precious
that they don't even deserve. And not only are you giving them something so precious, they giving you something so damaging in return as a parting gift.
Yeah.
How messed up is that?
I will say this, you know, we tell our children to wait, to wait, to wait, to wait. I understand telling them to wait, but here's the thing that we don't tell them.
Right.
It's great to wait, but before you decide to do this, just because you waited does not mean the other person waited.
That is true.
So before you decide that you want to engage in a horizontal poker with anybody. Horizontal poker with anybody. You need to have that person tested, because he may not have known what his last relationship left him.
That is true. That is true.
And she may not know what her last relationship left her. So for you to say, I waited, and I want this person to be my first, you need to know what's there before you go in there and do it, because it could be a lot of stuff sitting under there, under that cute, good smelling, handsome, beautiful creature that you're looking at.
Ooh,
it could be a lot of stuff hiding. It could be a lot of stuff.
I'm going to let my Mississippi come out of me. Ooh, child. Under that cute, handsome, good smelling.
Good smelling. All the pretty hair. I mean, baby. You know, because now they just nod at each other and falling. They nod.
I know. I don't even understand it. You like, how did y'all end up? Yeah.
Well, she nodded. She nodded. He nodded. What do you mean, women? Is it a downward nod, an upward nod? How was this? What's the nod? I need to know what happened. What was not spoken in this nod? I need to know.
I need to know so I won't nod that way, because I don't want to slip and fall. Nod either.
I don't want to get nobody no misunderstanding. I don't want to nod either.
I don't want to have no slips and falls.
None of that. I don't even want no direct contact. Like dealing with the bulldog. Don't look directly at them. They're going to thank you for the attack. I ain't doing no direct. Nothing.
I know.
Just,
that
just
is
throw a hand up.
That is so true. So I know we doing a lot of laughing and a lot of talking, and it's a lot of information coming. But if nobody remembers anything, especially if you are a parent out there, do not be ashamed to talk to your children about sex. If you don't know that much about sex, it's okay. It's okay. There are people out there that knows. That's just like finding what you need in your community. And at your nearest health department, there are people out there that can educate you, for you and your partner or your husband or whatever. And they can educate your child as well. And they can keep all of y'all safe, because there are more things out there than having a baby. There are more things out there than gonorrhea. There are more things out there than trichomonas. There are more things out there than chlamydia. There are some things out there that you just cannot get gone with
They've got some stuff. They've got some stuff out there that they haven't even named yet.
Yeah, and I, from what I understand, some of the old STDs that we have had around for years, they're mutating into a stronger version of themselves.
A super.
Right.
And the recommended drugs are not working anymore.
Exactly. Right. So you don't want to be that person.
Having to do combinations, yeah.
Yes, you don't want to be that person because of ignorance. And you have to understand what ignorance means. Ignorance only means lack of information, lack of knowledge about a certain thing. You don't want to be that person who has to take some medication for their whole life or have a conversation with a partner your whole entire life because you were ignorant to the fact that you didn't know what somebody had that was just going to be a tonight thing and they left you with something for the rest of your life. I remember when I was in, lived in Jackson, I used to just go to the health department, get the condoms by the boxes, put them in bags and pass them out at the gas stations, pass them out to wherever I was. I had kids that would call me all the time, "Miss Melinda, you got some more condoms?" I'm like, "You know they got some at the health department." "I don't want to go to the health department, Miss Melinda." "Okay, well, meet me at such and such and I'll give you a bag." So whatever you need to do to keep yourself safe, if you need to go behind the store in the alley to get a bag from Miss Sally, do what you need to do.
Oh, don't do that. No, don't do that.
Do what you need to do.
Not in the alley. Don't do that. Well, send them to the health department. Please send them.
Well, at one point, Didi, I was Alice Sally. So
listen, I was at the football games. The football game, I had parents, coaches, right. the team at the football game. So you still have some condoms.
So you was Alice Sally too. So if you need to, whatever you need to do, and just know that there are not just condoms for the men and women, it's okay. Girls, it's okay that you keep a condom in your purse. But they do have female condoms. They have dental dams if you want to participate in oral sex. There are ways. There's even ways. I mean, I learned this in one of my HIV training classes. It was a woman who used to be a prostitute. She did a demonstration on how to put a condom on with your mouth without even the partner even knowing it. And that's something that they used to use in the field. And by the time you put the condom on it, he don't care that the condom is on. All he cares is
what the feeling was.
It's in the mouth. So it's a way to protect yourself. It's ways to protect yourself. Just go out there and get the education to protect yourself.
Now, I will say this, ladies. Do not go into anywhere asking for female condoms thinking that, it's just like the men condom. No, that female condom is a little work involved.
It's a little work.
So you got to have a partner. And I'm not talking about a one-nighter or just met him. That female condom, it's a conversation. It's a very good foreplay thing.
It can be.
It can be because it's going to make you talk the whole time. You're going to talk and laugh trying to get that thing. So if you're at a point in your relationship and y'all been using condoms and you want to try something different, try that female condom. Yes. That will pull you a little bit closer to your partner and it'll be something y'all can do together. I've had several married couples who swear by them. They love them.
Yes.
They said they've gotten closer in that relationship, in that area, because they had to talk.
Yes.
Trying to put that condom on. They had to talk.
Or you can practice on yourself and you can come to the party prepared, but it's going to take some practice. So
it's going to take some practice.
But
it takes about two or three hands.
But it's doable.
So, it is doable. Yeah. And if you're listening to this for your own self, let me just, one of those,
disclaimers.
Disclaimers, another disclaimer. oral sex, I mean, flavored condoms is for oral sex only. Do not use a flavored condom for insertive sex. She gonna be mad at you.
So you're
And you're gonna be
hearing
wondering what happened. Okay, so do not use those. It's strictly for oral sex. Do not use them for insertive sex at all because you're not gonna be pleased with the outcome. And it's a disclaimer. You're not gonna be pleased with the outcome.
You heard it here. So your education is right
Yes.
here. So,
Yes.
but I have completely enjoyed talking with not only my cousin but a very good nurse out here in the community that is providing education to young people and just people in general. But I cannot stress enough how important it is to understand your sexual health, how important it is to protect yourself, how important it is, and I know some people are grown and married and say, well, I'm not at risk. And I would tell you this, sex has secrets. And if you are married, partnered up, this, that, and the other, that's one of the biggest reasons to have a secret. People who are not partnered up, they are just in situations and out here just doing it. They don't mind telling folks who all they're doing it with, but it's the married folks, the partnered up folks, or the people who just out here being reckless that's not telling others what they're doing. So protect your sexual health, get tested, get the education that you need, pass that education on to your children. If you can't retain the information and you can only practice it for yourself, then take your child to the nearest STD clinic. They have them in every state, they have them in your city, STD clinics. Please go. You can
Okay.
even talk to your child's pediatrician about their sexual health. So even if you don't want to take your child to the STD clinic, you feel some shame when you take your child for their checkup, especially when they start turning in their teens and
11.
start, 11.
11.
Start having, we start talking to our children young about good touch and bad touch. That's a good thing, but we need to start talking about that other touch. And
Now,
they looking at TV, they looking at internet, they looking at sex everywhere, and they need you to educate them on what's good and what's bad. What's positive and what's negative? I'm not going to say bad. I'm going to say what's positive and what's negative, and understanding their sexual health and understanding the responsibility that comes with having sex is important. What you was going to say, Didi?
before I let you go, we left out one STD.
Oh, what we leave out?
HPV.
HPV. We did leave that out. Well, I don't think we really named a lot of the STDs, but definitely let's talk about HPV. Let's talk about HPV.
If you have a child, male or female, that child needs to have a HPV injection. You need to have that vaccine.
They have
That
the
vaccine stops genital warts. It stops cervical cancer. That is, and I know, oh, it's a boy. I got a boy. He don't need it. That boy gonna get married. That young man is gonna have girlfriends. And if he comes in contact with HPV and passes that on to his significant other, his one night stander, it can have detrimental effects. So they need to, and if they're before 12, before age 12 is two shots. After age 12 is three. So they need to, we need to start talking more about HPV.
We
If you
need to
don't
be
know what
talking
genital
about.
warts are, they not cute.
No, they are not cute. I used to do a slideshow of STDs to the kids when I did sexual integrity talks. And I used to, and they'd be like, Miss Melinda, what's that? That's after having a good time. No, but that's, you know, not.
The HPV, the genital warts will run their course and they will leave.
Yes.
But the virus is still in your system.
Still there. And they have, and they can still come back. Like you can still, Yes, you can still get these warts and they can still come back. And I mean, when people don't understand, you know, they only thinking about in the areas that are covered up by clothing. Well, there is a possibility if whenever you have any open sores or have an open area in on your body and it gets in that open area, then that is a entry point. I have seen where STDs get into the eyes, get into your mouth. You get the sores around your mouth and you hadn't even had the goodest time that you could have had.
Not the goodest.
The goodest time.
So, you know, I want to say that they tickled me with this one. Did you know that you can get gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, and herpes in the throat?
Yes, you can.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yes,
you can get it in the throat.
You can get it in your
throat.
You can
get it.
Yes, you can.
You can get it. And they're like, but I don't understand. Why would you? You may not know it. Thinking you got some sinus stuff going on. Uh-huh. No, that's a little of that gonorrhea.
That's a little of that gonorrhea. So I cannot stress to you how important it is to understand your sexual health. I cannot stress to you how important it is to teach your children about keeping themselves safe. This is a public service announcement. Please, by all means, keep your children safe by arming them with the education. Arm yourself with the education because, I mean, you know, as adults, we are here being reckless as well. I mean, you know, we have the dating apps now. We have especially the dating apps where, you know, sometimes people don't feel like they can commit. It makes the playing fields leveled where the men can swipe, the women can swipe. So it's not like the men have to chase the women or the women chasing the men. No, it's a level playing field out here. And so we need to make sure that everybody on the field is educated and armed with the education that they need to keep themselves healthy.
I know we've been talking about our children and our this and our that, but we also need to think about our older generation too.
You know what? I know we are talking about, you know, keeping the children safe, but you are absolutely correct. While we're talking about sex, let's talk about it with our older people, because just because I'm old, that don't mean I'm good to have sex or I'm good.
Yeah, and I don't mean I'm safe. Because we're going to go out there thinking, it's not a good thing.
Because we got blue pills. We got
Cialis. We see it, Alice.
We got stuff that our older people are using, and they want to feel intimacy. They want to feel, you know, have sexual pleasure as well. And it's important for them to keep themselves safe as well. So it does not matter how old you are, how young you are, how pretty you are. One thing about disease will attach itself to anybody that's irresponsible. So it don't matter how fine you are, man or woman, how pretty you are, how cute, long hair, smelling good, It does not matter how much money it attaches to anybody who is irresponsible. And not only anybody who is irresponsible, you pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. And sometimes people passing it on and they don't even realize how they have left a wake of bodies behind them. You know, in the business, we call it body count. What's your body count?
And it's so bad that they don't realize that they passed it on so many times that it came back to them. And
somebody get doubled up on them.
That's a big old circle you got.
That's a big old circle. Exactly. So, you know, we definitely want to make sure that we take this serious, because it is serious. You know, I know we having a lot of fun, and I've been doing this for many years. And when I talk to the kids, I love to have fun because, you know, they like to take it light. They don't look at it as something as serious. And so I like to have fun and laugh with them. And I'm doing the same thing with Dee Dee. But I want you to make sure in between the laughs and the giggles and the snorts that you get the information. And that is to protect yourself.
So the same conversation that you're having with your kids, you need to have with your parents.
Ooh, not your, big your mama, mother. Girl. Not big mama. Yeah. Ooh, no. I ain't about to have, no.
No. I think it's Pawpaw. It's Pawpaw needs to have that conversation.
I'm going to have to send them a note and say, big mama, you protecting yourself.
Now listen. Big mama need love too.
I know.
You can't be a like that. You can't be shy. You got to talk to big mama too. Listen, I know I'm not having that conversation. I can't, just listen.
No.
I think the worst thing in the world I can do is call up and say, hey, Angel Wayne. Oh my God. I done got hit by 5-6 times. And I know I done got hit by five, six times before I felt the third one. You know what I'm saying?
No.
We on lick number 6 and I'm just not feeling number 3. So I'm just saying. But yeah, we gotta do that.
Or you can send a messenger.
They might kill the messenger. At least it ain't me.
I think I'll send a messenger to Big Mama. I'm not taking the message. I'm going to send the message to Big Mama.
So, oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm telling you, because Big Mama sending you one back. A scripted message, too. I'm just telling you.
Yes, indeed.
Tell them, break a switch and come on. Yes, that's all indeed. You need to do.
But I will say, in your older population, because they did not get tested, you find a lot of older people who have dormant syphilis in their body, and it causes, in their later years, it causes so many complications, and it's incurable at that time.
Let me correct that.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's not dormant syphilis.
Okay.
Syphilis does not stay dormant. None of it stays dormant.
Well, what is
if
it
you
doing?
Have It's latent syphilis.
Latent.
See, what happens is this.
Okay, so I use terminology.
No. See, the what happens is this. Syphilis is treated by two different types of medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those medications we get for a cold.
Just say, for instance,
you had syphilis last year and didn't know.
No, man.
Okay, so this... Wait
a minute. I've been tested.
Wait, because you know some of us don't do it on a yearly basis.
Okay, let's say if Sally.
Okay, so Sally she came in contact with syphilis in December.
Okay,
in December. So in February or March, Sally had a really, really nasty cold. And they gave Sally some doxycycline. That doxycycline, it killed the syphilis. So Sally didn't even know she had it.
So Sally got a 2-in-1 and didn't even
know. So here's what happened. Okay. So when she get that doxycycline, it it stops the syphilis. It don't continue to grow and produce. Okay. It stops okay. it, right? Mm-hmm. She may not got enough of it, but she got enough so it oh. won't keep replicating.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay,
gotcha.
So once she got said, so the only way she's going to find out that she got syphilis is when she go to her annual, which is coming up in May.
Ooh, honey.
And she might have like a 1-to-1 or a 1-to-2. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, oh, that's probably a false positive because the number's so low. Oh. Well, let me do a confirmation. When they do that confirmation, oh, yeah, she had it at one point. Mm. Well, I ain't never had syphilis. Oh, well, you did. Because, you know, this number kind of low, but you done had something. You may have treated it on the backside and didn't realize you was treating it.
Oh, my.
But it got treated.
Okay.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to hit you with these two shots and we're going to knock it out. Mm. But now on a harsher note, say, for instance, Sally got syphilis and never got treated.
Never got treated.
Sally runs the risk of going blind.
Yep.
Losing her mind.
Yep.
Losing her ability to walk.
Yep.
And losing her hair.
Yep. That's sad.
Yeah, it is. And what I'm finding that a lot of these people walking around the streets, talking to the sun, the trees, and the cars passing by, a lot of them have syphilis and it never got treated.
Yeah.
Now the good thing about the good and bad thing about it, once you treat it, it does not keep replicating, but it will not fix what's already occurred.
Yeah. Because we've had that in a couple of elderly patients where
right.
they realized they had syphilis that went untreated and it mm-hmm. had caused issues, especially, you know, with your mind. And
yeah,
it's you don't matter how much medicine you get, you can't reverse it. So
you cannot reverse it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So
the damage is done. It's not going to undo it, but it will stop it from doing farther damage once you treat it, but it cannot reverse what already happened.
Yeah. See, that's why it's important to go get the education, because I learned something. I yeah. just learned something just a minute ago. So it's so important to go get information. And I've been doing this for a while and I'm still learning something. So don't use me as your example. Use Sally, because I've been tested. The moral of the story.
If Sally don't get tested, but Melinda do.
I have been tested.
Look, you know, I got tested Friday.
Uh-huh.
So, had an incident that occurred at work and I got tested. Okay. Right. I got tested. So let me just go ahead on and get tested. And it's been about a year and a half since I done touched anything.
Ooh, honey.
And look, it's been probably about a year since I've been tested because I ain't touched nothing. But I was sitting there going, I wonder what it's going to do. What's going to happen?
So it is nervous. It's you are nervous getting tested, yes. But it's worth it. It's always you nervous about getting tested, but it's worth it. And it's better to know than not to know. You yes, know, it's you better to know it. Than not to know, because you can fix it.
If you catch it early enough, we can fix it and it's not there no more. But yes. if you let it linger and don't touch it, it's going to touch you everywhere. Mess up a whole lot of stuff.
Oh, yes. And it, yeah. I mean, and it, if you care about yourself, let's start with caring about yourself. If you love yourself, you care about yourself, you wouldn't walk around knowing that your leg is being ate up by a bacteria. You wouldn't walk around knowing that. Why? Because number one, it ain't cute. Number two, it don't smell good. And number three, you care more about yourself than allowing that to happen. So why would you do that with your sexual health? Why would you let something stay in you? First of all, why would you let somebody put something in you without wanting to protect yourself? I mean, we've all done it. We've all got into the heat of the moment and voila, there it is. But if that happens, which, you know, if you go into battle, prepare to wear your armor I mean, you know, sometimes you don't know, but for the most part, we know. Why not protect ourselves?
So we did this little thing in the last Girls Rock I did. Mm-hmm. We took a little mirror, just a little, like little hand mirror. Mm-hmm. We put a little grease on our fingers.
Oh,
okay. So if you're in this little hand mirror, mm-hmm. you know, about the size of, you know.
Yeah.
So put a fingerprint mm-hmm. if you've ever had sex. One fingerprint. Mm. For each guy that you had sex with, put a fingerprint. Now, for each fingerprint, put two more fingerprints for the other two people that they done had sex with. Now.
Girl, I know where you going. And you know what? I'm not getting in that trick bag at all. I ain't got no grease and I ain't got no mirror. But keep on with the education for our listeners.
So when you do that and you look at it, the amount of fingerprints covering up your mirror is the amount of people that done touched your cervix.
Not my service. You talking about Sally's service. Keep my service out of this conversation.
I'm talking about Sally's service.
Sally's service.
The thing is, you want to look at that because if your cervix got one or two, maybe four fingerprints on there, you can still see the pinkness of your cervix. But if that cervix is cloudy, you need to take that to the clinic and get it checked.
Ooh, baby. Yeah.
Because, you know, and sex is sex, no matter what you put in front of it, or vaginal or anal, it's all sex.
It's all
and
sex.
You can get an STD either which way you go.
Any you can way get gonorrhea, you go.
Gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, and HIV.
Right.
You in go either forward, which direction you go.
You go forward, you bag up, or you're not. You can all get it. You can all I'm get out. It. Now, that right there is our message for tonight. I have truly, truly.
You done crossed the line.
I have enjoyed talking to my cousin today. I have enjoyed talking to you.
She done crossed the line.
I have enjoyed this public service announcement. If anybody need to contact me or ask additional questions on where your nearest testing center is, if you want to ask me, you can ask me. If you want to find it out without asking me, Google can tell you as well. Or that knowledgeable woman called Siri, she can tell you also where your nearest testing center is. And she can also give you directions if you
but
need
don't
to
ask
get
Siri.
There.
But do not ask Siri if she know anything about a STD. You're not gonna like the answer.
That is not what you want to ask Siri. You only want to ask Siri the directions.
For directions.
Or where is your nearest clinic? You go and you talk to the nurse or the doctor about the information. Not Siri, okay?
Not Siri.
So.
Or Alexa.
Please don't ask Alexa.
Don't ask Alexa.
Please don't ask Alexa. Now, I do believe Alexa can play the song, "Let's Talk About Sex, Baby."
But she's not going to know no answer.
But she's not going to be able to give you the answers. So, to contact me here at The Gifts, you can contact me by email, leave your comments, leave your, if you have any questions, please give me a shout out at thegifts.23@gmail.com. Okay. I will be more than happy to answer any questions. This is one of the topics that I love talking about to our young people. If you want to, if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area and you want somebody to come out and talk to your teenagers in a course about sexual integrity, about teenage sex, about teen pregnancy, I'm more than happy to come out and do a presentation. So thank you so much, Dee Dee, Tiffany Benson, for providing the education, the laughs, and the giggles. And honey, leave my cervix out of these. I'm telling you, that's the last word I'm saying. Leave my cervix out of these.
Sally gonna get all of us. Put her business out in the street.
So Sally, if you out there, please forgive us.
Forgive so, us. Forgive us. So you know Sally finna call you.
Thank you so much for this educational. I do appreciate it. Okay.
All righty.
All right.
Y'all, you're more than welcome. Call anytime.
All right.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Gifts Podcast. If you or someone you know have a story of second chances that you would like to share, please contact us at thegifts.23@gmail.com. That's thegifts.23@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.